right. Good morning, everybody. Still a little bit of morning left. All right. I made the first walk up, so that's good. So there's going to be a lot of bad COVID jokes. I'm going to warn you right now, so you're going to have to humor me during this, all right? So pity laughter is okay as well. All right. So I do appreciate the message that Christopher just gave and put together. I think these will work nicely together. So when we talked earlier this week, you know, it's been 3 or 4 weeks, I think, since I've been here. A couple of weeks, obviously, we're at Pinecrest, and then last week we were supposed to be at Texoma, but then obviously that didn't happen with the surprise of COVID. I think Jim Moody, who was the Camp Texoma coordinator, I think he said at least half the staff and maybe even the kids were either sick or directly connected with it. So I feel bad for the preteens for the second year in a row missing out. But hopefully next year it'll be a good camp season for them. My goal today is I wanted to take everyone to camp. I've said this many times. I've always loved camp. I love camp as a teen, and I love camp as an adult as well. And one of the many things that I like about camp, especially as an adult, is I like hearing the Christian living and the compass checks. And I like the themes that go along with the preteen camps and the teen camps. This year's theme, and I think Christopher mentioned it, was Be Anchored to God. And what I always find interesting about the themes is obviously for the teens, they're very thought-provoking, especially at that stage of their life. Are they going to anchor, you know, as a teen, as a preteen, are you going to anchor your life to God? That's the biggest question that you'll ever answer in your life. But as an adult, as someone who says that they are a Christian, someone who has made that decision, am I anchored to God? You know, we it's easy to say that, right? It's easy to say, oh yes, I'm anchored to God. God's my anchor. But is that how we live our life? Is that how we make our decisions? Is that how we focus on things? As if God is our anchor. So I really enjoyed the Christian living this year. I took lots of notes during the Christian living this year. And even snagged one of the little teen books. I don't know if that was legal or not. Hopefully, you know, this isn't contraband material. But I snagged one of those as well. And so, again, what I would like to do today is really kind of take you to camp. Don't worry, there's not going to be COVID at this camp we're going to right now. So remember, I said some bad jokes, right? But I want to review some of the important things that were talked about and look at them from a perspective of, is this how we live our life? Is God really our anchor? How do we do these things? You know, we talked about, in Christopher's message, we talked about an anchor and what makes a good anchor, right? Some things that when we look for an anchor, we want something that's strong. We want something that's stable. We want something that we can count on, right, whenever things are going on. Those all are attributes, obviously, of God, right? God is the perfect anchor. God is strong. He's stable. He's dependable. God should be our anchor. God wants to be our anchor. We see in life on different, you think about different boats and things like that. For example, like in a hurricane. This is always surprising. Like, after a hurricane, you see the footage, and you'll see some boats that seem to be just fine, right? They're kind of still in their same area. But then there's some boats that are like a mile inland, and they've just been tossed and torn apart. And so it always makes me wonder, it's like if I had a boat and a new hurricane was coming, I think I would have done some prep work and make sure it was stable. But that doesn't always happen. And the same thing, again, happens in our life. Many times we may say that God is our anchor, but in reality, he's not, right? How many times, and I'm kind of thinking of my own life, have I made something else my anchor, right? Maybe it was my job. My job was going to be my anchor. Maybe it was like, if I can get a certain amount in my savings account, I'll feel secure. That savings account is my anchor. When I was younger, maybe, the education, my spouse. How many times do we make our spouse our anchor, you know, whatever situation we're going through, or our friends, or whatever it may be? And so if we think about, and as we go through this message today, thinking about these times in our life when God was our anchor versus times when we know God really wasn't the anchor, and how those situations differed. Let's start today by going to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, because the first point that we're going to talk about is finding our anchor. We're going to finding our anchor and how important that is. But in Jeremiah 29, and starting in verse 11, we'll get going here. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is God speaking. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and will find me, and when you search for me with all your heart." In this verse here, this is God saying that he wants us to depend on him. He wants us to be our anchor. And he says that, he reminds us that he has thoughts of peace and of hope for us, that we will anchor our lives in him, and that if we will look to him, if we will seek him, that he will be there for us. So what is this about this hope, though? Right? When we're talking about what our anchor is, we say, well, our anchor is God. But I want to be a little bit more specific. What actually is it about God that is our anchor? Let's go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, and we're going to read verse 19 again. Christopher touched on it. But it's mentioned in Jeremiah that this hope that God has in mind for us. And in verse 19 of Hebrews 6, verse 19, Hebrews 6 says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast." So what is this hope? What is this hope that is our anchor, right? It's God, but it's more specific than that. The hope that we have, the anchor that we have, is eternal life. That is our hope. To be in God's family, to be in his kingdom. That is our hope. That must be our anchor in life, is that we believe that this promise that God has stated throughout the scriptures, that it's real, and that the reason that we listen to this book and we apply the things in this book and the reason we do things to try to please God is because of that hope of eternal life. Living forever with God. That has to be our anchor. That has to be our anchor in life. The hope of the future. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. You can feel that in your notes. It talks about how, as human beings, we can't even imagine what God has in store for us. We can't imagine what eternal life is going to be like. We can't imagine what being in his family will be like and all the benefits that has. And we need to think about these things because, again, it's easy to say, well, yeah, my God is my anchor. But if it's very superficial, when things get hard, that anchor maybe really isn't there. Maybe we decide to use other things as our anchor. But if we are focused on that hope of eternal life, of being with God for eternity, of being in his family, that is our focus. That is our anchor that we must have. And then the Bible and everything else that we see then fits in perfectly with that. Right? The reason that we read the Bible, to study the Bible, the reason we try to apply the things that are in the Bible is because, again, we want to be a part of that family. We want to be a part of God's kingdom. That hope that we have, we want it to be a reality. And so we do everything we can to please God, to live his way of life. Because, again, it all goes back to our anchor, which is that hope of eternal life. So we must find our anchor, right? We've got to focus on God, but we must be more specific than that. The second point is that we need to make sure that we know how to use our anchor. How to use our anchor. And Christopher talked about that, but this is very important. Because as he mentioned, what does an anchor do? Right? An anchor's job is to prevent the boat from drifting. That's the anchor's job. And we easily drift in this life. We were in Florida earlier this summer. Actually, I was joking with Betsy. You know, since the whole beginning of this pandemic, you know, we've been careful in many ways, but we've also, you know, we've went to Florida twice. I think both times we were there, they were talking about how it was just, you know, a crazy hot spot. And, you know, going into stores and stuff, it was kind of crazy. But I've been in and out of hospitals pretty much every day. Went to a couple of work meetings. Went to, like, a sold-out Rangers game. It was, like, 50,000 people there. Did all these different things and never got COVID. And I volunteered to go to church camp, and I get COVID. So God has to have a sense of humor, right? I mean, there has to be something in there somewhere. But I was thinking about that. All these things I did, and that's how. Because I don't even think it's a good story that I can really tell. You know, I've had some coworkers. What happened? How'd you get it? I was at church camp. Church camp. So it's not even a good story, I don't think. But anyway, okay, that's COVID mind now taking over. Suddenly I'm distracted. So we'll get back to it. But again, drifting, right? When I was in Florida, you know, you go out into the beach, you go in the water, and even though the water may seem calm, or even it may seem like the waves are coming straight in, if you notice when you're in the beach, 10, 15 minutes goes by, and you kind of look up, and your home base is like way over here suddenly. And you just slowly, as Christopher mentioned, you slowly drift away. You know, you're jumping waves, splashing, having a good time, and it's not even that big much of an undercurrent, but you've drifted away. You're not where you thought you were. So again, the point of the anchor then is to keep us from drifting. But an anchor is only useful if it's used properly. You can have the best anchor in the world, and it's the setting up there on the boat, and if it's not used correctly, if it's not thrown and set correctly, it's useless. Right? We can have God there. God has said he wants to be our anchor. He wants to be there for us. But if we aren't using God as our anchor, then it's worthless for our own life. We're going to continue to drift. We're going to continue to do have things happen in our life that take us, you know, by surprise. So we have to know how to use our anchor. And in order to do that, there's things that we have to do, right? God is there. God is our anchor. God has given us this hope. He's given us this promise. But God says, okay, but there's something you have to do your end as well. So we have to make sure that we are using that anchor, that we are setting that anchor properly. So what are the things that we have to do? Well, we need to make sure that we have the strongest chain and the strongest rope possible. Again, we can have the best anchor, but if that chain, if that rope that the anchor is connected to the boat is bad, if it's frayed, if it's worn, what good is that? We're going to throw the anchor in, and it's going to snap the rope. And the anchor's gone, and off we go. We have to have a strong chain, a strong rope. What does that mean spiritually? That means we have to have a strong relationship with God. We have to know what he's asking us to do, right? We have to know what his Bible says. We have to be praying. We have to have that communication with him so that he can talk to us, so that he can remind us, hey, you're kind of off path here a little bit. I'm here. You're not using me. If we're not praying, if we're not studying, if we're not doing these things, then we've got the shiniest, best anchor possible, but we have a corroded chain that's going to snap when things get hard. So we have a part to play in this. We have to make sure that relationship with God is as strong as possible. And then God says, make sure you, again, you use me. And we do that by pulling on that rope, right? When you put an anchor in, and I think I've done this once in my life, so if I'm off, just forgive me, but I know there's people in here that have boats and done this a long time, but when you put the anchor in, you don't just kind of drop it in. Like you put it in, you make sure it goes all the way down, and you kind of tell by that by tugging on that rope, tugging on that chain, making sure, helping it get a good grip on the ocean floor, the lake, whatever it may be. God says he wants us to pull on that rope, pull on that relationship, right? Depend on it. Make sure that we know that he's there, right? God is always there. God knows that. We forget that sometimes. So when we kind of pull on that rope, kind of test, and it's snug, it makes us feel better. We know we've got a good connection. We know that anchor has locked in, and we know we're safe. in our boat, in our vessel. And so we have a part to play in this as well. We have to make sure that our chain is strong. We have to make sure that we're using the anchor. We have to make sure that we're pulling and that we're testing and that we're remembering that God is there for us. These are all very important things. So we know what our anchor is, but then we have to use our anchor. And the reason we have to use our anchor, and this leads us into the third point, is because we have to weather the storms. We have to weather the storms. Again, just having the anchor, knowing about the anchor, knowing how to use it, again, isn't enough if we aren't using it during the storms of life. And God says that that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to use him as an anchor during the storms of life. You know, weather is very interesting. I've always loved weather. And what's interesting about weather is that weather changes really quickly, right? Last summer, because there wasn't camps, Oliver and I, a couple others, we got the church rented some boats, and we went out to Lake Texoma. And we took the teens out there. They were able to go and pulled them and did different things. And for some bad decision, Oliver and I were driving boats. We didn't lose anybody, although we probably could have, and we didn't run anybody over, although we probably got close. I think the kids had a good time. They probably didn't know, but it was very stressful for us, and we're like, I don't think this is a wise decision. But we had a really good time. It was a sunny day up until the point that in the distance there was some dark clouds that came up. And, you know, luckily we had phones, and so I was able to pull up the weather app and say, okay, that's actually kind of a bad storm. And we could tell that it was coming our way. And so probably within half an hour, it went from nice sunny weather to really dark clouds over Lake Texoma. But thankfully, we saw it. We were able to get back to the marina in time. And basically, as soon as we got all the kids loaded back up in the cars, it started raining. It was a pretty big storm, actually. Stormed on us all the way back up here. And I think we all went back to the Snyder's for pizza, if memory serves right, that day. But it was a big storm. But it happened really quick. The weather changed quickly. We had that happen at Pinecrest. It rained a lot at Pinecrest, but it would be perfectly clear day, and then suddenly it would be thundering. And I'd be like, well, where did that come from? And, you know, the softball fields and all that, we'd get the messages on the radio to bring the kids back in. There was a rock climbing. One of the jobs I had is I drove the kids to the rock climbing activity. And it was sunny at the campsite, and I just happened to look at my phone, and probably it was about maybe 10 miles as the crow flies. And where they were was this giant red on the radar. And so we made the decision real quick, we got to go out there. And so thankfully we did. We pulled up, and they were all like, you know, wet and huddled up under the little pavilion area. But it happened real quick. Storms in our life, a lot of times that's how things are. Things can be going really, really well, right? And it's easy. When things are going well, it's easy to have faith. It's easy to have hope when things are going well. But things can change really, really fast in our life. I mean, I felt fine until the moment I did it at camp. And it was about 15 to 20-minute transition. I mean, it was that quick. I was fine, and then suddenly I was like, I don't feel very good. And it was that quick. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared to weather the storm. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's see an interesting comment that Jesus makes in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, and we'll start in verse 24. It's a very well-known passage. Matthew 7, and we'll start in verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You know what I think is interesting in this passage is that both the wise and the foolish man, the same storm hit them. The same storm hit both of them. It wasn't that Jesus says, oh, well, if you're wise and do all this and make me your foundation, then you won't have any storms. No, the same storm hit them both. The wise man was able to make it through the storm. The storm didn't destroy him because he had God and Jesus Christ as his anchor, as the beings that that the wise man depended on. So we're going to have storms in our life either way. The test is, are we able to survive those storms? Are we able to make it through those storms? You know, again, it'd be easier not to have any storms in life, right? There's been, COVID was not fun. There's others that had it, you know, worse, so I'm thankful for that. But if it's not COVID, it's something else, right? We all have storms that pop up in our life continually. Are we anchored? Are we anchored? You know, according to Scripture, we won't turn there, but in Hebrews, when Peter, it talks about how why there are trials. Trials make us stronger, right? Trials make us stronger. They challenge us to depend on God when it's not easy. And many times, yes, could God stop a trial from happening? Absolutely. But does God allow things to happen many times to see where we are with Him? I believe that's absolutely true. God wants to say, okay, I know you know your prayer life is good when things are going okay. What about when things are struggling? God wants to see where we stand. He wants to see if we can weather the storm. You know what's interesting as well? Actually, let's go to Deuteronomy 31. Let's go to Deuteronomy first. Deuteronomy 31. This is a verse that stood out to me. You know, what is interesting about this is many of these verses and many of these things I spent time thinking about while I was not feeling very good. When I got back Sunday with a van full of COVID campers, as it turned out mostly, I tested positive real quick. Betsy never let me in the house, and so off I went to the hotel. So I was at a hotel for 3 nights. And the days really weren't that bad. I was able to just set up and had my computer, emailed, all that. But the nights weren't fun. And if you've heard the stories about, like, people who had COVID, they say that their mind isn't exactly right. Like, I had the strangest dreams. There were times I literally had to, like, wake myself up and be like, no, you are just in a hotel. There's nothing crazy going on. Everything's fine. And there were times in those nights where I would be like, God, you are my anchor. Like, I would think back to these things I'd written down that maybe God knew that I was going to need a few days later. But this verse always stood out to me. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise that we have from the Creator of the universe. God says, I am there with you every step of the way. Don't be afraid. Have courage. As human beings, we are always afraid and we always lack courage. But that's on us. That's not from God. God says, I am here. I am your anchor. I'm here with you. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in a trial that was going to cost them their life. And they were fully willing to die for them, for their beliefs. But remember the story when they were thrown in the fire and King Nebuchadnezzar looks up and says, wait a second, there's four people in there. Didn't we just throw three people in there? There's four people in there. God was literally with them. Literally walking with them through that trial. What I wonder is, did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could they see? Or was this just something for Nebuchadnezzar to see? Could they see that God was with them, right next to them in that fire? God says He is. God says He is with us during the storms of life. For time's sake, I'll briefly touch on this, but there are specific things that we can do. When you're in a storm, when you're in a trial of life, make sure that you're praying Romans 12:12 talks about that. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you ask God to give you comfort. That's 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. God says he will comfort us. In Psalm 6, verses 1 through 2, expect God to give us an answer. So again, prayer, you know, talking to God, you know, asking him to remind you of all these things that the Scripture says. God will give us comfort. God will answer our prayers. So that leads us to the last point. And the last point is that God expects us to finish the voyage. To finish the voyage of life. God is rooting for us. God wants us to make it to the end. He wants us to be in his family. Let's go to John chapter 6 as we start to close. John chapter 6. We just got a couple more verses here. John 6. We'll start in verse 39. John 6 and verse 39. Here's Jesus talking, saying, "This is the will of the Father." So now again, there are so many scriptures. You know, people talk about how they think the Bible is confusing. Just read it. I mean, it's so easy to understand. God says, "This is my will. This is my hope for you. Hey, I will be there." We're the ones that make it hard. But this is, again, let's continue. It says, "For I've come, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." It can't be clearer than that. God says, this is what I want to give you. I want to give you entrance into my family, into the kingdom. And what's interesting is that so many times we don't remember that. We forget that. In fact, Satan, his entire plan is to see if he can get us to trade that away for something that's not valuable at all. And how many people have we known that have traded away this hope, this message, this promise, for nothing? You know, Satan's biggest thing is he wants us to think that we're by ourselves. Again, that was the worst part of this experience I had, was those few days at the hotel when you're just at night by yourself. Satan takes advantage of people when they think they're by themselves. God says, you're never by yourself. You're never by yourself. Last verse, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." That promise again. God says, I will complete you. You will finish this voyage. If you stay anchored to me, if you stay focused on me, I will make sure you finish this voyage. I will make sure that you will have eternal life in the end. So, in closing then, let's not forget the importance of having a strong anchor, right? And it's more than just saying that we have an anchor. It's living our life in a way that we trust that God is our anchor. We know that God is always there for us, no matter what storms arise in our life, and that God will help us finish our voyage.